good morning. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Thank you so much for sticking with us here. Still another interesting couple of hours to go. Lots of your comments coming in, which is great to see. A caller says, the government has wrecked this wee country of ours. It used to be that anyone that had a small boat could put out 20 or 30 lobster pots to try and make an extra bit of cash. But now you can't do that. You have to have a commercial fishing license. And to do that, and you have to have your boat registered. And that costs a ridiculous amount of money and nobody can afford it. And then you have to have a couple of life jackets and special devices that trigger. I presume the motivation is to make it more safe, but I can understand why people feel like they're being legislated out of doing stuff. My small business was also refused the grant due to arrears of rates. I'm paying regularly and arrears are reducing. I earn €450 a week, no staff. Rates are €3,000 a year, not based on turnover, salary, no profit. So stressful. I would love to see the local authority where it can work with businesses like this, because, you know, they're the forgotten they're the forgotten ones often, I think, when we say, you know, not when we say, but when it's announced that there's these supports for businesses and that supports for business. And if it's based on being fully up to date with your rates, I think it's unfair. If you are engaging with the council and paying regularly, you know, and even writing down or reducing your rates, I think those benefits should still be there to try and keep these people employed. Why don't they open more test centres in Donegal instead of having to go to Letterkenny or Donegal Town? They could open a million of them. It's like hospital beds. You can have a million hospital beds, but you need them staffed, and staffing seems to be the issue. There's enough hours in the day if they have enough staff to get everyone through there, those two. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying it's not that the centres are necessarily running to capacity. It's there's not enough testers. There's nothing to stop five testers going out at the same time from Donegal Town or Letterkenny, I'm sure. Hi, Jerry. We have no motorways or 120-kilometre roads. I know, but we do travel outside the county, and there are motorways and roads that you can do 120 kilometres on. We're not, we do leave our beautiful county from time to time. A caller says, we're not teaching young learner drivers what they need to know. Everyone needs advanced driver training. To get rid of the backlog, we need to be doing driving tests at the weekend and until late in the evening. Driving testers should be given a bonus for doing this. Hi, Greg. I'd like to mention our defence forces that are in Lebanon. All troops should have been withdrawn with immediate effect. This mission is now over in terms of what these troops can do. It's very possible they could be fired upon or one of these airstrikes lands near their bunker. You will have rogue individuals from both sides that will use our troops as human shields from attacks. Micheál Martin should be pulling all forces out and protect our troops at all costs. I mean, you know, people might say, people might say that Israelis are in a no-lose situation in basing themselves close to the Irish troops. If they're bombed by the opposition, you know, I hope that, God forbid, if anything like that would happen, that it wouldn't be to their advantage in terms of the public mindset on what's going on there. And B, maybe they won't be attacked if they're close to that area. And they are using the Irish Defence Forces as something of a deterrent to Hezbollah. Either way, it plays well for the Israelis and not very well for our men and women. I'm not saying that's the motivation, but someone might look at it and go, well, why are you there? Yes, you've asked them to leave, but you know they're not leaving. It's quite worrying. Greg, I read this morning and I laughed to myself. Only 20% of those who may be eligible for the €1,000 renter's tax credit have claimed it so far this year. Approximately 70,580 taxpayers have claimed it this year, even though about 400,000 are eligible. I am single and saving for a mortgage while renting. Each landlord refused to give me a receipt for the rent because most only want cash in hand, which leaves me and many others unable to claim this tax back. And they are in control because if I don't accept it, they'll find a renter who will. Yep, damned if you do and damned if you don't. What an awful situation to find yourself in. What do you do in that listener's perspective? Because they have us. Obviously, you know, there are 10 people waiting to rent a property that you're in. If your landlord, and I'm not saying all landlords do this, will only take cash and won't give you a receipt, you're not eligible for that €1,000 renter's tax credit. What do you do in that situation? What could you or can you do? A few weeks ago, a doctor was on the 9 till noon show discussing air quality and air filtration systems. I'd like her to discuss Legionnaires' disease. Heat pumps and air filtration systems are a big cause of this disease, claims this listener. Electricians are disabling heating elements. This means that the water is not hot enough to kill the disease. There's a lot in that. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about that, to be honest with you. Just a couple more before we get to a break. A caller wants to know, how does a brother get €25,000 from another brother if the brother won't pay? This has been going on for 25 years. Every time I ask, he says the cheque has been written. It's a tough one. We've covered similar stories to this in our legal questions feature with Seamus, and it's a tough one. There are ways you can go about it through legal systems, but I mean, do you have any documentation to say that this person owes you the money? Any form of contract or is anything written down? It would be useful. I would argue it might be actually essential for you to progress it. Other than that, I think the cheque could be forever in the post. Hi, Greg. When passed your driving test, you either get one or two lessons or one of your family to you out for a free one run, out for a few runs. That's the way it was. Yeah, that's it is. I know, but times are different. Regarding the Christmas tree up now, I know families who put it up at Halloween tree and fleet their grandchildren to help them, or get their grandchildren to help them. They exchange lights, decorations, etc. for a Christmas tree. Nothing wrong, as grandkids love it. Oh, that's kind of cool. So they put the tree up and decorate it as a Halloween tree and then switch it over to a Christmas tree. If it makes you happy, I don't mind. It's fine. Hi, there's a Christmas tree. There's a Christmas tree up a house in a particular area. I won't say where it is because it's obviously going to be one person. It's up the last 3 weeks. I'd love to chat to them. As I say, I really don't have any issue with it. But for some people, it does kind of annoy them. Greg, no one knows why that family have up their Christmas tree. There could be someone not well who enjoys Christmas and may not be here at Christmas. It's not doing anyone any harm. Why can't we just live and let live anymore? And see, that's it. That could be someone who is at end of life and they want one last Christmas together. And that's why I don't get too caught up in it. It's normally a reason like that, isn't it? Hi, Greg. I was out for a peaceful walk last night at Inch Wildfowl Reserve. The quiet walk was disturbed by several birds shooting enthusiasts, shooting the birds from the causeway at Farland Point. I know it's a massive sport, but I don't really get the point of shooting harmless birds. That aside, is it permitted to shoot the birds in the bird sanctuary? I'd rather remain anonymous, of course, for reasons which they outline. I'm not really sure. I don't see the point in it. But that being said, I do like to fish, so I can't be too on my high horse about it because, you know, if fish had wings, it wouldn't be too different, would it? I don't know. As I say, it's not something that interests me very much. But A, can they shoot these birds if they are indeed shooting them at this reserve? They may be shooting in the vicinity. And B, is it permitted at this time of year? A couple of questions there. I'm sure someone out there will know the answer. Hi, has there been any recent developments to stop the cutting down of the 90-year-old Ballyrain native oak coming from Donegal County Council, which sadly wants the native oak tree cut down and simply cannot see the light and appears to be hiding? Again, is that not the TII? Caroline's responsible for that oak tree. It's not the council, is it? The council aren't going to be responsible for those type of roadworks. I doubt they would be. I actually didn't realise I know this tree quite well. We never dated or anything, but I actually didn't realise I knew its location. And it is really quite significant and distinctive there. And I can kind of see why, in terms of improving the flow of traffic there, that it may need to go. But still, there has to be an alternative, does there? Or maybe there doesn't. Let us know what you think. All right, we'll be back with more after these messages. And you're very welcome back following the commercial break. Right, okay. Apparently, there are instances of, it's not apparently, I've seen the images of antisocial behaviour in Falkara. Local councillor Michael McLafferty is back on the show to discuss this. What happened, Michael? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Morning, listeners. Basically, what happened here, Greg, was just as the photos show there, somebody a number of people, whatever, just unclear, but anyway, a number of people possibly were involved in here due to what happened there, and basically they emptied the bottle banks there in Falkara Saturday morning there, the can banks, outside Falkara Chapel and that there. So obviously people got up going to work and whatnot on Saturday morning. That was facing them as you come into the town, because we'd struggled there for a long time to get a place for the bottle banks. They used to be further up the town, then just circumstances changed then, and they got moved down there about roughly about a year ago now into the Chapel Car Park there. Father Boyce kindly allowed the car park to be used for it. So that was grand. Everything was going well. Everything was working out fine. People are obviously doing the right thing, going there, emptying their cans, bottles, so on, etc. And then for some reason then, unknown to us, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, this happened then. But like, I just want to point out, bad and all as this was on Saturday morning, like, this is no reflection on Fulcarra town itself. Like, they're very, very good people in Fulcarra town there. You know, there's a number of people there, tidy townspeople there on the steering group there, Mary Boyle, McGarry and that. They do tremendous work there, Greg. They go out mostly every Sunday doing stuff and around the town. They usually then organise then every so often then. They go a couple of miles outside the town on a rainy days gathering rubbish. We have the CE workers there as well under the guidance of Kevin Barrett that have to say, alongside the volunteers, just exceptional work. It was no different to Saturday morning when this happened. Again, Mary Boyle got her, and people going to the park run, volunteers landed, got gathered up the cans and that. The council landed then as well alongside them. Council got the bottle banks back in place, swept the road, tied up everything as good, left it all as it should be. So again, like the good spirit came out immediately there in Fulcarra on Saturday morning after obviously people were alerted. I alerted the council myself and the guards and so on to make them aware. And then the volunteers alongside the council landed then to take care of things then on an official capacity then. And look, we've got things back in place again. Everything's nice and tidy again and hopefully stays that way going forward. But we just want to get the message out this morning, Greg. Look, whatever was the reason behind this, obviously
it's just people being idiots. I mean, it certainly didn't take one or two people to do this either. That was a group of individuals did this.
Yes, you're right, Greg. There's no question about it. There are a group of people involved here. And like, you have to question, what was the mindset of the group of people involved that went there actually, obviously clearly in their mind to go and do that? Because, you know, you don't just suddenly just arrive and decide then, well, know what, we'll heal over these bottle banks, like throw them onto the N56 and so on, throw them onto the Chapel Car Park. Like, this could have turned into a really nasty situation. Now, thankfully, between the swift action, as I say, of the council, council and the local volunteers, it didn't, but it could have. And as I always say, prevention is better than cure, but it's we shouldn't even be talking about this morning. We should be talking about the positive things that's happening there this morning. There's an allocation of 50,000 there for a walking trail and that going around Fulcarra there. Further on over then, just outside Fulcarra, then we're already, there's 50,000 for the car park there. Fulcarra town itself, no more than any other town throughout Donegal, Greg, they're small areas, small knit communities. Everybody knows everybody pretty much. They're trying their best to stay afloat. The town itself, the business owners and so on, business-wise, they're catering for tourists all year round. Everybody is trying to do their bit and some of them beyond the call of duty, to be fair as well, to make the town and the areas surrounding it, Greg, the community, look nice and presentable when people land. And it's at that stage again.
So when did this happen, Michael? Because, listen, I would guess it took at least four people to do this, at least four. Because I mean, when did it happen? Because maybe the CCTV footage. And look, we're not talking the crime of the century here, but you know, this kind of behaviour needs to be discouraged. There's bound to be some CCTV footage. So when did it actually happen?
Well, as far as I'm aware, Greg, early on Saturday morning. Mm. That's all I know.
So Friday night, Saturday morning.
Friday night, Saturday morning.
Okay.
It was Saturday morning. I was alerted early Saturday morning, so obviously under the cover of darkness, clearly possibly what happened here, more than likely, according to the time frame that I was contacted on under it, I would say under the cover of darkness that it did happen. But at the same time, you're right, Greg, we can't sweep it under the carpet either, such that it has happened. It has to be highlighted. It has to be acknowledged that it happened. And as we say, just going forward, we just don't want this or any other kind of antisocial or vandalism going forward either, such, because calling a spade, it is vandalism. There's no other question about it. It may not be the crime of the century, you point out, rightly so, but nonetheless, it's uncomfortable for people living in the area, put it like that.
Of course it is, and block the footpath as well, and distraction for people using the roads and so on and so forth. All right, okay, well, we'll see what comes of it. Michael, thanks for your time, appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg, take care, bye-bye.
Take care. A caller says it took some strength to do that, it was more like a group of drunk thugs Was there no CCTV evidence? Can you recycle cans in those machines, can you? Can you recycle beer cans in them? Some amount of money of cans lying there if you can. Caller says, what's the story with closing the roads for this rally again? There are schools en route and cars are flying up and down. They're covered in potholes and they'll need to be repaired again after this. Will we ever get a break from the rally? I don't think that's the annual rally that you're referencing. Is that the harvest rally? I'd have to be corrected on that. We're going to be talking GEA later on with Brendan Devaney, by the way. He and Porrick are out and about this evening, I believe, as they look forward to the county final next weekend. But, of course, there were some big games at the weekend as well, too. So if you're out and about watching football and you have any commentary or anything you want to say in that, get involved in that conversation as well. This is a conversation, or this is a show where we have many conversations. Maybe you're a Manchester United fan. I watched them on Sunday, and this is not... I don't have a team, so I'm not necessarily like a Liverpool supporter having a go at Manchester United fans, but my God, they're poor. They are so, so hard to watch, and a long way away from the glory years, and you wonder how they'll ever get back to it. But I also watched Man City v Fulham at the weekend. Man City won that game, but Fulham are a great team to watch, and I think Manchester United fans wouldn't be as upset with where they are in the league if they actually went out and played, you know, decent football, at least going out on your shield or your sword. I don't know if that's something you want to talk about either. Let us know. Let people alone or leave people alone. If they're not affecting you or your property, mind your own business. Try smiling instead of criticism. Yeah. And I don't think as well, I think when someone sort of spots a tree up and they think it's too early, I don't think there's any hate in the heart when they're saying, my God, it's very early for that either. It just happens. And I don't think there's any really bad intent in making that observation. A caller says, re the soldiers in the Lebanon. I totally agree that they should be brought home. This is not our war and we should not be there. But I mean, they've been there traditionally for an awful long time as peacekeepers, and it was never our war, but they were there to try and maintain at least a safe area for regular people like us living over there to get on with their lives. So it was never our war, but many, many people went over there and went over there on more than one occasion as well, because it is our world collectively and we have to share it. So, but anyway, I appreciate it. We're going to head to Killybeg shortly. Let's take this quick break first. Now we're joined on the programme by Kevin Hegarty, a member of the Community Council and business owner in Killybeg. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Greg.
Good to have you on the show. Right, you are a business owner too on the main street in Killybeg. And is business being interrupted by a lack of parking spaces, or perhaps maybe the parking spaces being used not by customers?
Yeah, we'll go back to March 2023. The work started the town for a town centre regeneration project. We're led to believe from the start, we're actually given assurance by Donegal County Council that this will be done in stages. It wasn't the case, and it led to the car park being closed for up in a year. It just recently opened about 3 weeks ago. Footfall nosedived throughout that period. Some business seeing up to a 30% reduction in turnover. We all know how tough business is now. It's challenging times. One business has closed recently. The increased business costs we're facing, we just had to do something about it. You know, our wage costs probably over the last few years up 30%. Energy is up over 50%. Seen double-digit inflation. Probably I've never seen in my lifetime. It's led to the household basket being increased. We knew we had to do something to try and sort it out and to bring footfall back to the town centre.
And do you think, Kevin, in the absence of the car park, people's parking habits change so that you might have business owners or indeed their staff, you know, parking on the main street and maybe need to break that habit again and free that up for those intending to travel into Killybeg or passing trade to pull in?
Yeah, that's right. We came up with a parking initiative, myself and another business owner in the town, went around the businesses and just really asked the owners and employees to find alternative parking. So basically could keep the main street and the car park available to customers. Probably this seen 3-4 weeks now, this in operation, and there has been an improvement, all right.
Good.
But the way I look at that, it's a given that owners should be doing that themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, your employees have the right, they're entitled to park wherever they want. But I think for the overall benefit of their own business and others, I think it'd just be appreciated if all employees would come on board this.
And there's different businesses that operate in different ways as well too. Like, you know, if you're a convenience store or a shop or a takeaway or something, it is the car pulling in, purchase and pulling off. If you're a, I don't want to mention any businesses because it's a small business community. I wasn't going to mention them by name, but even the type of business. But I think really what it needs is cross-consideration to understand that certain types of business need this almost drop-off, you know, this convenience parking for them to, and you see it in the bottom line. It really, we don't think about that often, do we, Kevin? Do you know what I mean? You see a change in parking facilities, and then you look at your accounts after a month, after 6 months, and then after a year, and you can literally see the impact those changes have had on the income, which is shocking, really. Actually, you know, because as consumers, non-business owners, we might not think like that sometimes.
Yeah. Listen, I can only speak for myself, but my own business, I've noticed a big drop off in turnover. It's worrying. You know, you have to do things to turn it around. And listen, everybody's a winner here. Like every business wins. If there's more parking, increases footfall.
What's the sentiment like in Killybegs at the moment, Kevin? Not just with you, but generally within the community. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not the thriving fishing port. It might not, it perhaps once was. An awful lot seems to be made about, you know, it being a destination or a stop-off point for cruise ships and that type of stuff. You know, there has been investment in improving the visuals, I suppose, of Killybegs. Is it a town that you feel is on the up? Or does it need something to breathe life back into it? It's a completely open-ended question because I have no idea what the answer is, Kevin.
Yeah, well, the way I see it, Killybegs, it's a great community. Killybegs, even back in the recessionary times, Killybegs was still booming.
Mm.
There's a lot of employment created in the town. I suppose the fishing is going back, it's well back in previous years. I think tourism has improved. Probably we're more into that now. Listen, it's not the town that it used to be.
Yeah.
But like every town's they're all struggling now. But the last thing we want to see in our towns is businesses closing.
For sure, definitely.
Yeah.
And of course, too, it's about the powers that be ensuring that Killybegs is seen as a destination, a tourism destination, because once you're relying more on tourism, that window narrows of when businesses, you know, are making money to get them through the tougher winter months, too.
Yeah, well, your winter months can be busy enough around Killybegs because that's when the fishing season kicks off.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, okay, good stuff.
It was 1-1 for everybody.
All right, Kevin, listen, sorry, general question. It was just to get a wee insight from you as a business owner there. And it's a polite request, and a rising tide lifts all boats, that if business owners, and particularly their staff, of course, use alternative parking, leave the main street clearer, it will help to maintain business and keep them afloat, actually, and keep them in business. All right, Kevin, listen, thanks for your time. Best wishes. Take care.
That's perfect. All right, Greg.
Bye-bye, nice. Kevin. That's Kevin Hegarty there, a business owner and a member of the community council. I would just like to know who, if anyone, watches the prices in grocery stores, says this listener. It is just awful. For example, started buying a brand of tea bags about 2 months ago. €7 for 160. Already have increased to £7.29. That's just one item. Yeah, and prices vary from store to store and the type of store that it is as well. I am pretty tight. I watch those things rather tightly, and I wouldn't be ashamed to shop around either. Right, you're being invited to join us for a fun evening of singing with the Ross's Ukulele Group and special guests, wait for this, for a lineup, Daniel O'Donnell and the Three Marys. It's in Sweeney's Hotel, Main Street, Dunloe, on Friday, the 11th of October. That's this coming Friday. It's at 9 p.m. Entry is just €10, and all proceeds on the night to Sinead Dugan for Dunloe GEA Skulmora Belcritch campaign. And Quid Games, what could 10,000 do for your club or organisation? Is that separate? I think that's just actually on the poster and it's part of the wider thing. Sounds fun though, Quid Games. See what they did there? They dropped the S. Anyway, that's this coming Friday night. Sounds like great fun. The Three Marys, I love them to bits. And Daniel O'Donnell, we all know Daniel. It's the Ross's Ukulele Group as well. And it's in Sweeney's Hotel, Main Street, Dunloe, Friday, 11th of October at 9 p.m. And there's a couple of other things that I was asked to mention, which I will get to before the end of the show. It's hard to keep track of everything. We were asked this following question, and I'll give you answer now. Is it true that it's out to tender for the removal of the concrete barrier on the four-lane carriageway coming into Letterkenny? That was the question. Someone must have heard it. The answer is this. There are no plans to remove the median barrier on the four-lane road. So it must have been going around that there were plans to remove it, but no, that's staying in situ. It's staying put. Right, John Gallagher's with me now. Hi, John.
Imagine why you did come to my cartoon, Greg. Firstly, I suppose I would like to say that I believe in a single-state solution to the trouble in the Middle East.
What is it, for those who may not be aware, because people hear, you know, two states, what is a single state solution to the crisis in the Middle East at the moment?
The dual state solution is propagated by, I suppose, the Americans.
Yeah.
Is a land of Palestine being shared by native Palestinians and imported or planted or whatever phrase you want to use, Zionist or Jewish people from, in essence, all over the world, mainly America, parts of Ukraine, parts of Europe. My belief is that, especially in the last 12 months, the Israeli people, the Jewish people, or indeed Zionists, do not deserve to have a state. So therefore, that's why I believe in a single state solution. And when I make reference to a single state solution, that is a free Palestine that stretches from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. And again, people...
And what does that mean for Israelis or Jewish people in a single state world, John?
If they want to stay as part of Palestine, happy days. However, their state is a rogue state. It was formed, I think, in May 1948, and subsequent decades, Israelis or Zionists, backed mainly by the Americans, less so, I suppose, by the British and the French and other European countries, have propped up, which is in essence a rogue state. They have propped up a terrorist state that conducts and has conducted many crimes against humanity. For example, the month before Hamas attacked Israel, I think there was in the region of 200 Palestinians in the West Bank and in Gaza killed by either Israeli militias or Israeli settlers in the West Bank. So I don't believe that there can be a dual state or two state solution, or at least Israel should move back to the borders of the pre-1967 six-day conflict, I think it was, between mainly Egypt and other Arab countries such as Jordan and Syria. After 67, Israel took hold of the Golan Heights, East Jerusalem, and other areas of Palestine. Again, in 73, the conflict with other Arab nations, they were the agitators. That war lasted 6 weeks again. I think it was in October of 73. So it's Israel that's the agitator in all of this. Again, I can reference many, many atrocities.
But just in relation to that, John, and I suppose it's like everything with history, we can go back to whichever point might suit our argument. I don't have a particular argument in relation to this. I think what's happening there at the moment is absolutely horrendous. And even even the bombing at night time, which is psychological warfare, because it doesn't allow any respite at all for regular civilians, whatever about armed combatants. But, John, some might say that whilst it might not have garnered a great deal of coverage, that for the last 12 months and for many years before that, that Israel's been subjected to rocket attacks from the north, the east, and elsewhere as well. And even though most people, I don't think, would think their response is proportionate, that this is retaliation for those years of bombardment.
But again, Greg, a lot of people seem to forget that the Israeli state is a rogue state. It's a state that shouldn't exist. It was some people again are under the impression it was out of empathy after the Second World War that the Israeli state was formed. It wasn't. There were plans for an Israeli state going back as far as 1917, when there was a British foreign minister, Balfour, at the time, contacted one of the leading Jewish communities community members, and I think he was Rothschild was his name. Their belief was that their belief for an Israeli state back then was to garner support amongst the Jewish, or financial support amongst the Jewish community for the First World War. So this isn't a new thing. It's a false state. It's a rogue state that was formed.
But John, I take your point, and there's many would agree with you. But what I can't understand, and genuinely can't understand, and this is me coming from a position of ignorance, is that much of Gaza has been completely destroyed now. So even if it were a single state solution, that part of the world is completely destroyed now. Beirut's also now taking a hammering, and God knows what's going to happen between Iran and Israel. They do that. Even this morning, Micheál Martin released a very long press release referencing the attacks of last year, which were horrendous. I think most people would agree. But my point I'm getting to is that Israel is doing everything that it wishes to do with, and I think if you're not opposed to what they're doing, you're supporting what they're doing with the support of much of the international community that we're exposed to, Britain, Europe, America. You know where I'm coming from. Obviously, there are other states that are opposing it, but they can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter if they blow up a school in Gaza yesterday, killing 18 people, God knows how many children. It doesn't matter if they wipe out 300 or 400 people because there's one Hezbollah person potentially in a building in Beirut. They can do whatever they wish. In fact, they can literally do whatever they want in Gaza at the moment because everyone's watching what they're doing in Lebanon. And the world stands by and watches it. Why is that?
I think anybody and any when it comes to any conflict or any act of occupation or oppression by somebody remaining silent or simply standing idly by, they are culpable in acceptance of wrong. They're culpable in acceptance of evil. And I think if we didn't have the Americans backing the Israelis, they wouldn't have the capacity to do the grave wrongs that they're doing. And it's an utter shame that, for example, the Irish community of whatever 40 million are so silent, and indeed by their silence are culpable in genocide and culpable in mass murder.
I think part of the problem in relation to that is America at this point is so entrenched in its red or blue, or it's so entrenched in its Republican or Democrats that regular people refuse to step outside that. If you're a Harris supporter, Donald Trump is so bad that you can only focus on that and vice versa. And all the while, they are actually not protesting, not taking a stand, not making a point that what's happening in Israel is so wrong.
If you're not prepared to take a stand against evil or against wrong, you're weak, you lack passion, you lack depth, you're a shallow
individual.
That's
observation, John. We need to also try and establish why the world is standing back and allowing this happen. You know, I mean, a lot of people know what should be the case, right? But we also have to consider why we are in this situation in the world right now.
For example, one of your researchers had a conversation with me before I came on here, and she referenced, did I know Palestinians? And Greg, at the risk of being nasty, have you spoken? There's a good sized Palestinian community in Letterkenny. Have you spoken to any of those people?
Yes, they've been on the show on numerous occasions.
Have you spoken to those people before October the 7th?
Yes.
Have you, and more often than not, they have told, and they have told of frightening stories, mm-hmm. of what the Israelis have been doing,
yep.
not just for the past number of years or the past, they have been doing it for decades. This is not acceptable. For example, as a student many, many years ago, I was in the Irish anti-apartheid movement, and every country across the world boycotted.
I get where you're coming from, and I know exactly where you're going with that. And to answer your question, I've spoken to Palestinians on this program post and pre October 7th. But I also want to challenge you on one thing too, because your comments and you know, I think this is maybe somewhat what's wrong with the world today. You sound very much anti-Jew to the point whereby, you know, whatever, regardless of how it's done, you know, the Jewish people need to be chased from Israel effectively. I mean, you know, that's anti. Do you admit that your comments sound anti-Semitic? Because you seem to be grouping an entire group of individuals. And their kids, they've got kids as well, they've got babies as well, and you seem to want them wiped off the face of the planet wherever they go, as long as they accept a one-state solution.
With respect, Greg, I didn't reference their needing to be wiped off the planet. I do believe there isn't a space for them in Palestine currently, for the simple reason of their especially their behaviour, and it's gone without impunity.
There's nine million people, John. You can't speak to all of their beliefs, Greg, and many more around the world.
And there are also 6 million. 6 million Palestinians displaced across the world.
I know, John, actually, but that's why your solution really effectively is people might say it sounds very anti-Semitic, John. Do you know what I mean? Like, is the solution not the two-state solution not whereby both groups of individuals can share the land?
Well, do you honestly believe, after the atrocities committed by the Israelis, by the Zionists, over the past 12 months, do you honestly believe that Palestinians and Zionists and Israelis can live side by side? Do you honestly believe that? And again, with respect, that is a naive thought, it's a naive belief. If you believe that somebody that commits, slaughters your entire family and you're the only one left, for example, that you can live side by side by the people that committed such atrocities.
Yeah, but innocence to me, whether they're of a Jewish background, Palestinian background, whatever it might be, What horrifies me about what's going on in this world at the moment is innocent people being blown to bits. Your solution to me, John, sounds like all of a sudden it would be the innocent Jewish women and children and fellas that haven't taken up arms that would effectively be chased out of the one state. There's no way Palestinians would care to live side by side to Israelis. So a one state solution effectively means, by force or otherwise, that that we would be seeing the same type of atrocities in the other direction.
But Camille, you said by force or otherwise, the Israeli state wouldn't exist today. Only it was formed by the actions by force. So, in essence, kind of what you are saying, it's okay for the Israelis to form their rogue state by force, but wouldn't be okay for Palestinians.
This is the problem with the word. It's not fair for anyone. It's not for to defend the rights of the Palestinians to condemn an entire nation of others, be they Jewish or otherwise. That's not a solution. That's revenge. That's what got us here in the first place.
Yeah, but I'm not sure you're familiar with the phrase "wandering Jew," and there's a phrase, and maybe it's okay, maybe it's used loosely, but there's the phrase wandering Jew, and the reference is that the Jewish people, for some reason or other, were to wander the place without a homeland, without a place that they could call.
That's not a real thing. That's derived from a myth, is it not? Going back to biblical times.
Well, reference to Israel, you know. Your contributor asked me, or your colleague asked me earlier, why I have a belief in Palestine, and what made me believe that there should be a free Palestine from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. Ariel Sharon in 1982 sanctioned the Lebanese Christian militias to go into Shabra and Shatila refugee camps where there were Palestinians taking shelter. And this wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an airstrike that you could say went wrong. This was systematic murder of men, women, and children.
Which is exactly what we saw 2 years ago today, or 1 year ago today, not, John. Under the cover of rockets. People went in there and massacred in excess of 1,000 people, only because of their religion and where they lived, and they took another 250 women, children. It didn't matter. They treated bodies and people like nothing. You wouldn't even say in an abattoir.
Again, I don't believe anybody is accepting their methods were correct. However, it wasn't a primary action. People seem to think, Hamas woke up on the 7th of October and said simply, we'll invade.
So you defend Israel, that, do you? Defending what happened last October?
I don't believe it was a primary action.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean in layman's terms?
A primary action is something you do without reason, without mitigation.
I find it, John, I'll be honest with you, I have to finish anyway because we're approaching the news, but to be honest with you, any justification of that, I find it very, very uncomfortable. We're talking about human beings here, John. We're talking about human beings.
Absolutely.
I would be as disgusted at the same kind of abuse of civilians, women, and children.
If you condemn solely and you passionately condemn one side for an evil or for an atrocity, you have to equally.
Yeah, that's what I've done, but you haven't. You see, I have, but you haven't.
Vocal about that.
But John, I have. Condemned them equally, but you haven't. That's the difference. All right, John, listen, I do have to break for the news. I appreciate speaking to you. You speaking to me. Take care.